I'm very well, thank you. My pleasure to join you.
Arman Ahluwalia.
Thank you so much, Eugenio. This is quite an honor. I appreciate you you extending the offer to come here and speak today.
Pedro Diaz-Ridao.
First of all, thanks for having me and excited, you know, to be part of this podcast.
Ronan Doniger.
Huge. Thank you very much, I suppose, first of all, for having me on your show.
Dean Butchin.
The key point is ask, 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 and never give up.
And welcome to eProcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the new episode of eProcast. Anastasia here, and hope everyone is doing great. We're happy to welcome our 35th country into our family, Morocco. This is episode 37, and also it is the inception of the Instagram Live series. In this episode, Big E connected with Brock Hendricks, premium sales manager at Staples Center in Los Angeles, California. He also was the guest of the pod in episode 19. But in this episode, they talked about major differences between the American and European sports models. We would appreciate a lot your feedback about this format of the content. And let us know in the comments who you'd like Big E to invite on the podcast or IG Live series next. Hope you get a lot of value out of this conversation. Enjoy!
Hey everybody, we're now live. Okay, I'm a little bit nervous and excited because it's not my first time I'm doing an Instagram Live, but it's the first time I'm doing an Instagram Live as a host of eProcast, and it's very exciting. Usually it goes, you know, not live, and it's I'm recording interviews and awesome conversations with professionals and entrepreneurs in the sports business, and then I have time to, you know, edit, add some cool stuff, and of course shout out to Anastasia for helping me out bringing to live the eProcast, and I'm really excited and grateful. Hey Justin, what's up? But this Instagram Live series, I've been thinking a long time about it, and I'm happy we're making it happen, and I'm really excited about this. And after I was at Justin's Instagram Live few days ago, it made me really hungry to make it happen, and I'm really excited. So without further ado, I'll try to connect. I'm still working out how these things work, so apologies for that. Get everyone invite, send this link to all your friends or anyone who you think will get value out of this kind of conversation. So we'll try to rock and roll. But today I'm joined by Brock Hendricks, the premium sales manager at AEG. So, you know, when you think of AEG, that's everyone who plays in the Staples Center. So the Lakers, the Kings, the Fever, not the Fever. So Lakers, Clippers, Kings. So I will add him and we'll have an awesome conversation. We'll be talking about the European model versus American model. So I'm doing this. Sparks. Yep. All right. Let's add my boy to the Instagram Live. What's up? What's up? What's up, my man?
What's going on, Big E? How are you, man? Good to see you.
I am doing well. Good to see you indeed. I know I fucked it up a little bit with the with the Fever.
Yeah, not the Fever. Not the Indiana Fever. I know you're an Indiana basketball fan, but no, you got to get our shit correctly. This is a good time to start the show with. We got these in the mail from the Lakers. It's here. It's happening. I get this beautiful thing, right? Like I wanna do a photo shoot where I recreate like an actual player, you know, when they hug the trophy or like the moves, you know, when they're looking at their own reflection in the trophy. Sure, what it's all about, you know?
Show it one more time so I'll take a screenshot. It's gonna be fun.
Okay, here we go. This is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Once we started doing it, it felt wrong.
It's gorgeous. It's just fucking gorgeous.
It's good to chat with you, man. I'm really excited for this conversation. And I just think it's kind of funny. We're almost asking you to do something unfair. You have to take all of Europe. You know, not just your country, not just the countries kind of you're traveling within. We're asking you to talk about all of Europe, which is a little intimidating, versus America. And I think a good place to start is, you know, I think when in Europe, when you call a team a football team, When they're the football teams, that makes sense. But in America, when we call our football team the football team, it's really stupid.
So, Brock, just before I'll ask you to get a little bit, because you were a guest on the podcast of the eProcast. So if anyone who is now live or will listen to this live on Instagram, this will go also on the eProcast later. So whoever is now live or will be able to listen to this will have first person view on what's going on and the main aspects of American and European sports models. But Brock, why first, just to give a little bit of context to everyone who's watching right now, just to give 1 minute of who Brock Hendricks is, just for context.
Yeah, I'm Brock Hendricks. I work for the Staples Center. I manage the premium contracts for the Lakers, the Clippers, the Kings, and the fourth team? The Sparks. There you go. Someone's listening. And I've worked my whole career in sports sales. And so this is premium sales, which in America just means the suites, the high-end inventory, the really fancy stuff. But most of us in the industry start our careers with just ticket sales, like season tickets or allowing fans to come to games. So I did that in the past in minor league baseball. I did that for the Utah Jazz, and I did that for the LA Dodgers before now doing it for the four teams in a joint venture. And that's me.
That's really awesome. And I'll add here that
time.
Yeah. You could have used extra 10 seconds, man.
No, I don't need it. Why put off to tomorrow what you can do today? Why put off in 60 seconds what you can do in 45, baby?
So, and also, I have this coffee with me. And just to give a little context, Brock is also the host of one of my favorite podcasts out there, the Hot Coffee Cold Beer podcast, which is really awesome. And it's almost done with season one, and very shortly we'll get into season two. Can you give a little bit of insight of what the listeners should do before that? Of course, everyone should go and just subscribe to that.
Yeah, season one is coming to wrap. We're going to tell 30 stories, basically, is the concept. So 30 people, 30 stories in the industry. We'll do a lot of quality control to see what's working, what's not working, and really study the show a bit. And then we'll come back sometime in 2021, probably in about February to April range, and come back and hit it hard. But, you know, like all of us, right? Like whatever it is, whether you're a pro athlete or you're in your profession, whatever your career is, like you're always trying to get better. You're always trying to find mistakes and improve upon where you can. So that's where we're at. And if you can do it in your career, why can't you put that same work ethic to a podcast? Yep. You know, so we just want to make sure we're making the best possible show we can and that people enjoy it. So we'll be back in 2021, but don't fear. There's 30 episodes. There's plenty of binge worthy material for Hot Coffee, Cold Beer for you to go back on.
No, absolutely. And I really enjoyed every single conversation. I joined a little bit late on that, but I will catch during this period of time, I'll catch the ones I missed from the beginning. So
that's the beauty of it. It's all, there's no timestamp. You know, you could find it in a year. You could find it tomorrow or you could have been with us from the beginning, and it's all the same. God bless podcasts, you know?
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And, just for everyone who is following now live, if you have any questions, doesn't matter about life, about sports, about Europe, about America, just shoot them in the comments, and we'll take care of them. So, soccer versus football. I know you just touched this a second ago, and why soccer?
It's a good place to start. Why it's called soccer, I have no idea. It makes no sense, right? It's more of why do we call football football? Makes zero sense. Because the player that most teams hate the most, right, is the kicker. So if you're on a team, right, you patronize the kicker, you're mean to the kicker, and that's one of two players. There's a kicker and a punter that kick the ball across the field. So meaning one play that you don't want to happen. So last night's a good example. The Buffalo Bills, they played a game against the San Francisco 49ers. The Bills punted once. Just once. They only kicked the ball once. Yeah, we call it football. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So it's funny when we have a team called the football team, whereas I know in international, like there's FC is a really common term for football club. But when you guys do it, it makes some sense. So why is it called soccer? I don't know, because we took the good name. We screwed that up pretty bad. And now here we are. But yeah, it's not stupid where you guys would do it. Here's a conversation I wanted to start with on this is I look at like the minor leagues, right? You bring up soccer because soccer is huge in Europe. Soccer is your epitome. For the longest time in American culture, it was baseball. Baseball was the top American sport. I think football and basketball have topped them now, but historically that's how it's been. So because baseball was so popular, they realized the game was so popular, so they could make smaller teams that we called the minor leagues, where it's not as big as Major League Baseball. It's not the best players, but it's kind of all the next in line, right? Or the next best players. And we found that we could fill minor league teams like crazy just because baseball was so popular. Does Europe feel that same way about soccer? Are there minor league soccer teams?
So that's a good question. And the first thing I just wanted to start here and touch base on is that there is not such kind of thing as minor leagues in soccer, if you will, but purely because there are in Europe and football leagues and in other sports, there is, you know, it's not as in American sports where there are 32, for example, franchises, or doesn't matter what in what sport, the teams, the last teams in the top league and the first teams in the bottom league, they swap places. So there's a risk of going down and the risk of going and the reward of going up. So, you know, if, for example, there are two divisions, imagine, or let me reverse that. Imagine Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball. The Minor League Baseball, the best of them would play together, and the first two franchises would go up in the Major League. How would that sound?
Yeah, that sounds like it would be great. Like, it'd be great if a team was so good that they could move up.
Yeah, but what's the challenge for those minor league, best minor league teams in this league to go up? What are the main challenges?
It's a great question because it's a great point because there isn't one, right? If you're the best, so how they organize them is AAA is what we call it. Is the next step right before the major leagues. And then below AAA is double A, then single A, then like all these different leagues below that, right? But if a team does really well in single A, they don't get to go to double A the next year, or then double A to triple A, or triple A to the majors. They're just stuck there. There's just 30 franchises in triple A, 30 in double A, 30 in single A. And that's just how it works. They don't have incentive to move up. Their only incentive is really to exist so that the major league team can develop their talent. So a baseball team has 25 players. So they're looking for their next 25 players based on how well they play in the minor leagues. But you're right. There's not actually anything in it for the team.
Right. And also just to add here, you know, the best players, and this is what I found out, interesting is that I'll take basketball because I had a little bit of experience with NBA. But, you know, for example, I'll give an example of Goga Bitadze, for example, in Indiana Pacers. He is not catching the main team in the Pacers. And I was, you know, they use the players to continuously grow, and they play in the G League. So they play, you know, in the second league, you know, in Fort Wayne, for example, and who are, so the player are getting continuous development, even though those players are not catching the main team. Whereas in Europe, even if you are, you know, recovering from an injury, you're still staying in the, you know, on the bench and waiting. So basically, you're not getting, for example, Real Madrid. If you are, I don't know, you got an injury and you are Marcelo, for example, or you call another player. You got injured. You are staying on the bench until you recover. So you're not, the team is not using you in Real Madrid A, which is playing in the second division of Spanish soccer or football league, if you will. So it's interesting because the players in the U.S., the players can play in the lower divisions, even though they are representing the major division team.
Yeah, that's interesting that baseball uses minor leagues and American sports use minor leagues very differently than
that's why
than a minor league. If you call it that.
Yeah, that's why you find affiliations, you know, with major league with the minor league team.
Yeah. It's very interesting. So in the world of European soccer, where there's basically performance brackets. So, for example, if you're the top team here in the top league and you start to have a bad couple of years, you could risk going down to a lower league. And if you continue to lose, you'll fall to the bottom. You sort of sink.
Yeah.
What prevents teams? That prevents teams from tanking so that they can't get worse. But do you also notice that it keeps the same teams in the same leagues for longer? Where, I guess, in other words, if a team literally can't climb out of it, they're just stuck in there and there's not a lot of movement.
Yeah, so that's a good question. And I'll talk about two, and we're talking now about just football or soccer. So there are, let's take two competitions. One will be the Spanish Primera División, which is the main La Liga competition. And then the other one is Premiership, the English Premier League, sorry. So in England, all the teams, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're Manchester United or if you're Watford or Norwich, or doesn't matter. If you play in the top league in England, all the revenues, the TV revenues and so on, they are split between all the teams in that league. In Spain, it's a bit different because you have Real Madrid and Barcelona, who, you know, you would follow. I don't want to say bad about any other teams, but the Primera División, this competition, it's basically everyone follows because of these two teams. And, you know, you if you ask in the U.S. who is, I don't know, I have to look for a team like Levante, for example. I know who Levante is because I lived a little bit in Valencia, so I know where they come from. But basically the most of the revenues that La Liga is getting from the TV rights and so on, they are split, like I have to educate myself more on that, but are split between these two teams, and then the other teams are getting the rest. So you know, if you are in England, for example, the battle for going up into the top English Premier League, it's really tough. Imagine you are a team who is battling for next year having extra, about 40 million euros in your bank accounts, which is huge for European clubs. So basically, it really makes sense to fight for those dollars, and it keeps you always motivated and also in focus. You have to focus to stay in the, if there are 20 teams, to stay in the 17 teams, because if you're the bottom three, you're at risk to go down.
It's such an interesting difference, because what American sports teams will do is, instead of fighting for every last inch and every last win so that they get to stay in that group, like you're talking about that happens in the Premier League, in America, they'll just blow it up. They will completely trade all their good players. They'll trade one really good player for a couple of players who may be good one day, basically to almost punt and push off success until later down the road. And what you find in that is that teams lose everything. They lose attendance. They lose relevance, especially nowadays where we're in this world where it's everything in life is, what have you done for me lately? What is the top of the top right fucking now? And if you're a good franchise that has gone down and punted and is playing for other years, fans just stop showing up. For those reasons. So your model where you have to stay winning, to stay competitive, to stay relevant, it keeps teams accountable, which is really interesting that, you know, American sports really just don't do.
Yeah. But it's funny because, and I saw your one of your stories, the other days, you know, the Jets, they're almost to win the first game of the season.
Yeah.
A second, they just blew it. Like, you know, it's really funny because, you know, there are teams like Jets who are 0-11 or 0-12, and Steelers, even though they lost yesterday the first game of the season, they're still 11-1. So how, and this is a question to you, Brock, what is the main motivation, just to educate the audience a little bit, the European audience?
Yeah.
Why is important and why is still positive to be 0-12 in NFL?
Yeah, it's a great question because it seems so backwards, right? Why would you want to be the worst team in the league? What's in it for you? Well, here's what's in it and what American sports have found out is that teams have this mentality of if we are not going to win right now, we're going to lose right now. And here's why they would do that for a couple of reasons. One, and the main one being how players come into leagues in America is through a draft where if you are the worst team, you get the best pick. So if you are the New York Jets, Jet fans in football, in American football, are rooting for their team to finish 1-15 losses or 0-16, no wins, so that they can get the number one pick in the draft. Because drafts are how American teams build talent, right? Yep. And it's really only the top couple of picks that make a big impact. So basically, what the New York Jets are banking on, they're hoping that if the soccer equivalent of a Messi is available in the draft, the next Messi, the next big player, right? Imagine if you don't win now, it means that you could get the next Ronaldo in an upcoming draft. So that's what American teams will do. It's obviously terrible for competition because it means that they're losing. They're losing now, and that's never fun to watch, right? So that's the idea behind why American sports teams do it. Also, you touched on this of how the revenue shares work in the soccer. Yep. In football, American football and really all American sports television contracts are massive. So you can lose every game, right? Get a better player and start trying to win later. And it doesn't affect your financial bottom line at all. You're going to make about the same amount of money whether you win 16 games or you win 0 games because everything is split between the 32 teams in football or 30 in basketball, 30 in baseball. So your bottom line to the owner's pocket doesn't change very much depending on how well your team does.
Right. And how, because it's funny, the owners, for example, if you'd be the owner of Jets, for example, and you're losing you're 1-15 in the season or 0-1-15 or 0-16, how are you feeling? Like you're the owner, you bought the you're owning, you're paying out of your pocket basically to have this team. Like how would you feel to lose this kind of? Because I'll give a little bit of context. In Europe, if you are a team, a football team, a rugby team, it doesn't matter. Like just in case, just you know, any other sport, if you're constantly losing, your fans are just turning away. Nothing can save basically your team or your club or but in the US you mentioned you can have the next Lionel Messi or the next Cristiano Ronaldo, or like it was last year the draft, you had, you know, Joe Burrow and the guy from the Dolphins, you know, the two really good quarterbacks. How would you stay motivated if you're the owner of Jets?
Well, the owners of football teams in America certainly don't look at this like it's an investment opportunity. Realistically, if you buy a team now, what it will be worth in 20 years, the value will have gone up. So it is a long-term investment, right? But teams that don't have very active ownership tend to do pretty poorly on the field. So those two things kind of directly, there's a direct relationship there. But for a lot of American sports teams owners, this isn't a business. This isn't how they're making most of their money. They've likely made hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions, doing something else in the world. And then this is their hobby. They are so rich that, like, we have fantasy football teams where we get to pick our favorite players, right, and hope that they do well. They get to do that in real life. So how they stay motivated is they all want to win right now. You know, in most leagues, there's not a whole lot of incentive to run your team like a business. Because player contracts are expensive, because operations are expensive. To keep the brand up is a very expensive task. So American sports owners look at this like it's a hobby, less of like, this is how I need to make my money. So how they stay motivated is they make the controls and fire people that don't win games, because that's what's in it for them. You know, so I'm very passionate about the Philadelphia Eagles. That's my football team, right? And when they don't win, it ruins my day. And I say that's my team, right? We in America, we use the term my team. Well, if you own the Eagles, they're literally your team. They're quite literally your team. So imagine the pain that I feel as a fan, amplified by millions when you own the team. And that's all you want in life, right? You're a rich dude. You just want a football team that wins games, or baseball, or basketball, or whatever it is. So when you don't get that, it has to hurt immensely.
That's right. That's right. And let's also talk about the other leagues as well, because, you know, if you'd ask European audience about the main sports in the U.S., they would definitely say NFL, because it's even big in Europe. And they also having a couple of games in London, and they're trying to get more and more in Europe, so, you know, grow the audience, and that's awesome. I applaud that. But also they everyone knows NBA because it's one of the most global brands out there. But what about the other leagues, the other major leagues that are really unknown? Baseball, yes, you know, the Moneyball factor, which had a huge influence on here in Europe, for example. Personally, I started my MBA, this was a huge thing. Like, I had a professor from a Columbia University who was talking about the Moneyball, and you know, I watched the movie, and it was just like, really? It's possible? Apparently, yes.
It's cool to see that Moneyball caught on in Europe. That's nice, yeah. I guess. It's a good story.
Yeah, and let's touch base on the other leagues. Two major leagues, and also potentially two emerging leagues which are coming.
Yeah. So in America, we refer to our big sports as the core four American sports, which are the NFL, football, basketball, like you touched about, baseball, Major League Baseball, which historically has been the most popular sport in America, that is starting to change. And then the fourth is hockey, the NHL. And there are eight teams in the National Hockey League that actually play in Canada, but it's still the fourth biggest sport in America, right? And there's a lot of competition for what that fifth spot is, right? In America, we have a really high appetite for entertainment, right? We'll spend every dollar we have on how something makes us feel, and entertainment makes us feel really good. So there's no capacity for entertainment, right? There is no cap. So teams, there are leagues that are competing for the fifth spot include UFC, Ultimate Fighting Competition. That's really popular in the United States, and that is an international presence too. But in the international, or in America, certainly that has taken a high priority. Major League Soccer. So, you know, America's really the only country that I can think of that soccer isn't. What's really football is not that big. So American soccer comes in sixth or seventh place.
I'll jump in here, but at the level of, you know, in school, because, you know, football, American football, you can't really play in school. That's why soccer is used a lot to develop personal and teamwork skills within, you know, when the kids are going to school. So why it's not, you know, the culture is not moving forward from, you know, kids doing soccer in schools and transferring this to professional environment when they grow up?
Why well, not? Because I think we pick up some of those same skills that you referred to that you pick up playing football, we do playing football. And it's very often, right? I mean, soccer still has a place in America. America's a big enough place where it being the fifth or sixth biggest sport is still pretty big, but to us, it's not the same as it's not as first nature as baseball, basketball, football, or maybe even hockey.
Right.
Probably why that is because it just continues to get passed through generations, right? Like you very rarely hear a father talk about, I can't wait for my kid to play soccer in America. It's my kid's going to try baseball, and then they're going to try football. They're going to try basketball. Those are the three sports I did year round. And I'm just kind of an average American dude. I wasn't a high prospect or anything like that. And those are the three that I played year round, and I didn't play soccer. So the capacity, right, to play probably goes through those four in order, right? Do I want to play basketball, baseball, football, or hockey? And then soccer is last. And the odds of you playing all five of those are probably not very good. So that's probably why we don't pick up as much as they do. The other thing that's really big in American sports, going back to the core four conversation, is college athletics.
Yeah.
Because college athletics, to a lot of a portion of our country, are more popular than pro athletics. So there's a segment of the country, this happens really popularly in the south part of the United States, that college football is cooler than the NFL to them. They would rather watch a university, a group of kids from ages 18 to 22, 23 playing football than NFL players, guys from ages 23 to 38 or 40.
And it's funny. And it's funny because you mentioned the South. You know, I'm here for holidays visiting my brother in Florida, and it's funny because you don't have, you know, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. You basically, in these three states, you only have one NFL team, but you have a lot of big, you know, even like the biggest colleges when it comes to football program in the country.
Yeah. The University of Alabama, I guarantee you, has more fans than probably 10 out of the 32 NFL teams, right? Like the University of Alabama or some of those big programs in college football, like Louisiana State University or Auburn or Georgia University, University of Tennessee, probably have more fans than the Jacksonville Jaguars who play in the NFL. Not a slight on the Jaguars, but that's just kind of how cultures are in America. Yeah, and you won't often see places that are big in college. They may not have an NFL team, right, or a pro sports team. So in Utah is a good example. The University of Utah is everything in that part of the country, right? They're so big on college football that if you put an NFL team in Salt Lake City, it probably wouldn't work. They're already adopted that choice. And then again, in America, there's the capacity for both. There's enough of a segment of the country that can be all in on college football and not in the pros, and they both can function and flow properly.
No, that's right. And you mentioned that this is something I wanted to ask, like, how do you think will react the fans if you would bring, you know, if for example one day Las Vegas Raiders, but for example, they decide to move again and they would move to Alabama. How the fans would react to this move?
It's so funny you say that, right? Because you would think it's really lucky that a city gets a team, right? Like Tuscaloosa, Alabama should be so lucky to have an NFL team. I don't think they would think that, right? I think they would actually kind of resent that and still adopt the college team. Listen, America is just a very different place. All 50 states are much different than the other 50, right? So every place kind of takes its own identity and its own preferences. And some states just like baseball more than they like basketball. Some states like college more than they like pros. And the country can kind of function as different as we are, because we're really fucking different, E.
Right. And
Florida. You're in Florida right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, even Florida, every county of Florida is so different than the others just inside of Florida. Such a weird ecosystem that America has.
But it's funny because, you know, in the U.S., you mentioned the Big Four, and you have some sports coming, you know, behind the trying. You have soccer, you have, you know, even Premier Lacrosse League and so on. And even rugby. I'm a big rugby fan, as you know. And, you know, it's funny because MLR is going to be on their fourth season now, and it's growing and growing. They have big international stars coming and playing. And this is the model that MLS also did, you know, with big football, soccer stars moved to there were the model was that they would finish their season here. So this is something that MLR, Major League Rugby, also tries to get, you know, the star wants to retire soon, in like 2-3 years, just, hey, come and play for us and get a little bit of awareness and stuff like that. So but in Europe it's really different, because you have soccer, football, and then there's a huge battle, depends on the country, because, you know, the US is a big country, and you have all these sports. But then in Europe you go from country to country, and the second, third, and so on sport is very different. So if you're in England, you have football, you have cricket, you have rugby as the main sports. If you go to Spain, then that would be, of course, football. And then there would be basketball. you know, you'd have paddle or tennis and so on. And then if you go to Eastern Europe, it's different. Like in Moldova, you'd have football, but that it doesn't have huge success right now. And then The second one would be wrestling, or, you know, something that would be with the contact sport. So it's really funny, because the second sport first in rankings, of course, football everywhere in the world, and kudos to everyone doing that. But there's a huge fight for that second spot. In some countries, there are sports that challenge football from the first spot, and that those countries are like Georgia, or, you know, where, for example, rugby is big. So they're now challenging football for the first spot in their rankings of the most popular sport in the country. And, you know, Europe is like 40, almost 50 countries. So it's really different, because there are different cultures, different preferences, and so on. That's
super, test on super the fascinating. Or,
yeah. I think that this is going to be also valuable, Brock, to the listeners. The draft system. How, if in the nutshell, if you can share and educate the listeners how it works and why it makes the American sports that so beautiful.
Yeah, I like the way we do our draft system. We're basically to try and make every team competitive, right? Like, if a team is doing well, they need less help. So we give higher draft picks, where you get to pick new players that could be really good one day. Those go to the worst teams, right? So if you finish in the worst, your football team, we were talking about the Jets earlier. If the Jets finish with the worst record, meaning they were the worst football team, they're going to get the first choice of the players coming out of college to join the league. So that the worse you are, the more help you get, type of thing, which, like we talked about, incentivizes
even
teams.
Even the teams.
Yeah, it incentivizes teams to do poorly in some cases so that they can get fixes. But it does hopefully help keep the teams balanced, right? Like, it might be a boring system, right? Like, imagine if you won the World Series. So you were the best team in the world. Your reward was taking the next best player in the world and putting them on your team. You would just load up on super teams. And again, in America, where there's just such a huge appetite for entertainment, if no one's going to root for the bottom teams, right? If the good teams keep getting better and the bottom teams never get any better, no one's ever going to root for the bottom teams. They'll just instead go to another sport, or they'll go to esports, or they'll go completely different direction. So that's the American sports culture with drafting, which basically tries to help every team stay competitive, right? But the problem that you see in that is that when a team thinks they aren't going to win the title, they're not going to win a championship. They'll just be bad so that they can hopefully win a championship later. And then there becomes this very big drop off, right?
Yeah, but is there a process of education of your fan base that, look, we're doing that kind of, and I don't like to hear when you're like losing on purpose. I think the sounds in sports really bad.
Yeah.
How the fans are being educated on, look, this loss, we're losing, but we're going to win. Like, is there public or marketing campaigns that would be like, hey, look, like, we're close to having the first draft pick the season and so on. Like, this is, you know, let's look positive at this, not negative.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of fans that look at that as a positive, and there are certainly times where you should do that. In America, we call that tanking. When you are trying to lose games on purpose so that you can rebuild the franchise. Rebuilding is another term you hear very commonly in American sports.
Yeah.
That's called tanking. So the Dolphins fans wanted them to tank, so that this upcoming year they could draft a quarterback named Tua Tagovailoa. He's supposed to be one of the better quarterbacks coming out. So all year you're hearing about tank for Tua. So sure enough, the team does poorly. They get a high draft pick. They take that player, Tua Tagovailoa, and then they are now on the right path again, right, to start winning games. So that's the term that you hear. It's not communicated to teams. The Miami Dolphins are not going out to the world saying, hey, we are going to tank. The leagues don't want players to tank or teams to tank. They want every team is competitive and trying to win right now. But I think a lot of fans realize is that that's not their best chance to win. Their best chance to win is not now, it's later. So we should tank. But the NBA doesn't want them to do that. They don't want them to say that. So no, there isn't an education system on this idea as much as there probably should be. It's just not that way. Instead, a team would rather pretend like they're trying, and the fans sort of without explanation just kind of understand that this is happening, and fans have very mixed opinions about tanking to get better draft picks.
Right, but what about what are the main differences when it comes to the draft, for example, the NBA draft and the NFL draft? Because I saw what I noticed, and this is just what I noticed so far, is just I saw in NBA there's this thing of of having like a it's not like the last place has the first pick. There's some sort of magic going on.
Yeah, it's called the draft lottery. So right. To prevent teams from tanking in the NBA basketball, they have a system called a lottery, which means you are not guaranteed a pick. So, for example, in baseball and football, if you finish with the worst record, you get the first pick. It's cut and dry. It's that simple.
What if there are two teams with the same, or it can be?
Yeah, there are always tiebreakers in play. Like, let's say two teams in football finish with the same worst record. The tiebreaker would be who played a stronger competition, right? So if you lost more games to worse competition, you win the tiebreaker. But there are tiebreakers for all that. So football and baseball, they do that. In hockey and basketball, to prevent people from trying to do that, it's a lottery system, right? So here's how the lottery works. In basketball, let's say you finish with the first record or the worst record or the third worst record or the fourth worst record. All four of those teams get the equal odds to get the number one pick. So it's not like, oh, we finished with the fourth worst record, we get the fourth best pick. It's not like that at all. It is a total crapshoot. So any team who misses the playoffs technically has a chance at the number one pick or the very first pick, because they'll literally just draw them out of a hat. So it prevents teams from tanking so that, you know, they can get better draft picks. There's a lot of fans who believe the NBA is rigged, and that's why they do this, so that the NBA gets to pick which teams get the number one pick instead of the order, to create drama. It's a conspiracy. I don't know that I believe it, but it's a theory.
No, but it's funny, you know, being
also, I heard there's somebody commenting that it's mostly bro science about whether people want their teams to tank. And that is 1,000% accurate. That is dead on.
Yeah. Shout out to you, Justin. Awesome comment. But, you know, it's funny because last year the Knicks were going, they're trying to get the first pick and to get Zion. And unfortunately, it wasn't like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Then it goes poorly where you don't lose enough games. Right. So the whole thing is very backwards.
That's right. I had here Victoria. I think what the children must play in must play different sports. In Russia, children play only football, basketball, and volleyball, and it's all. So you see something that we talked a bit earlier about. In every country, the main sports are very different. You have football as sport number one, and then you have, like, as Victoria is mentioning, you have basketball, sport number two, and volleyball, sport number three. And, you know, even when you're in school, the parents would get their kids to, you know, to football, volleyball, basketball sections, but not, I don't know, rugby, for example, or
interesting,
or other individual sports, because they look at what's the most successful sport in the country, if you will. So, yeah, that's.
I have heard that in Russia, the X Games are just life. Is that true? Do you know what the X Games are?
The extreme games or what?
In America, we have like the X Games where they do like, you know, stunts, and it's basically outdoor extreme sports is what we call it. And I've heard that in Russia, it's just like everyday life. It's just the X Games.
I haven't heard lots about it.
I would say what's big and upcoming in Russia, in Eastern Europe, for example, or not only in Eastern Europe, but in entire Europe, it's the esports. So, you know, and not the ones, the esports that are, you know, when you're talking about the, you know, FIFA, or someone can be like, oh, esports, just FIFA. No. But for example, in Russia, Dota, for example, is big.
Yep.
So, you know, you know, in the US, the big esport is Fortnite, which is, you know, we witnessed a 16 or 18 years old kid winning $4 million and yep. being found the world champion of Fortnite. Where would you see that?
Only in America. Yeah, that's crazy.
But yeah, beating like 40 million other players or something like that. That's just crazy.
Yeah, that must be absolutely nuts. And I think esports is probably the fifth biggest sport right now in America, I would say. Like, that's probably number five right outside of hockey, baseball, basketball, football.
And that's interesting. If you heard any feedback from the traditional sport that it's practiced outdoors or indoors, it doesn't matter, about esports, like, because in Europe or in Eastern Europe, you have a lot of haters about esports, that this is not a real sport. But we're witnessing esports getting, for example, into LA Olympic sports list. So
yeah,
it's funny.
Yeah, there is definitely some of that in America. There are some people that believe video games aren't real sports, or that esports are. Like, there's still a bit of an education process happening in America that esports are real, but they're real. They're the following. That's what makes a sport a sport and makes it popular, makes it here to stay or not. Is that it's got fans, it's got people that love it, and that will help anything stick around, and esports is going through that now, but there is still some of that. But I wouldn't say that, like, the NBA never sits there and shits on esports and video games. In fact, what you see is a lot of really smart business people that are in basketball or football, they'll buy esports teams, and they'll start esports teams to kind of promote this unilarity. So, yeah. I think we're in a good place with esports in America.
You mentioned the owners of big you know, franchises from big leagues to get into esports and buy these teams. It's funny because in Europe there's this kind of model as well, where, for example, you'd have, you know, Real Madrid or Valencia or even teams from England buying esports teams, and they're even, for example, in the new renovated Bernabeu Stadium in Madrid, there's going to be a big area for the esports, where, you know, the main team will have their, you know, I don't know how they call it, the fights or whatever, the battles,
yeah,
their teams and so on, and they are going to showcase that, you know, look, esports is big, and it's not only some guys just, you know, staying in front of the computer and just playing around. They are having nutritionists, they're having strength and condition coaches, they're athletes.
Yeah, they're doing full training. It's a whole lifestyle, and I'm about it. I think it's really cool.
Yeah. And Brock, I think this is before wrapping it up, because I had a lot of fun, and we'll try to get it more to get more episodes like this. I had a lot of fun. If you can share how the listeners and the followers can get in touch with you, or where can they follow what you do and stuff like that, that would be awesome.
This was a lot of fun, and I don't even think we've scratched the surface on American sports versus the European model too. There's just so much more we could talk about, but dude, it's always good seeing you and chopping it up with you. If your listeners want to find us, the Hot Coffee Cold Beer Podcast, we're on all major streaming platforms, all the same ones you're on, and you could follow us on Instagram, HCCB Hot Coffee Cold Beer Podcast, and we're on Spotify, Apple, Facebook, LinkedIn. I think our marketing guy has a Tinder account out there somewhere. There's a Hot Coffee Cold Beer Tinder. If you match with it, you're lucky, you know. But yeah,
how big is the Hot Coffee Cold Beer Podcast? Just for the audience, just to understand how much it takes, how much hard work it takes to have a podcast.
Yeah, you know this certainly as well as I do, is it's just a process, right? It's a full-time job outside of your full-time job. So quality, it takes a long time.
Yeah.
So the more hours, the odds are the more hours you're putting on your podcast, the better you're probably getting at it. So I would hope that's the case. But yeah, it takes quite a bit of time. Editing is a process to make sure that the episode is the best quality it could be. Promoting it, coming up with new ideas, and how do you make it one? How do you make a podcast is a whole other time suck. How do you make a really good podcast is a whole other challenge. And then the third part of the challenge is how do you make it even better every day, every episode? How do you keep getting better? And that's where it gets really tough. But it's been a lot of fun and it's going well. And I hope people keep enjoying it. That's all that matters.
No, absolutely. Unless you're bringing value and, you just post things and someone will get value. And if at least one person gets it, and I think that's the job well done. And personally, I enjoyed your podcast. So at least you're making someone's stay on Mondays. So the new episode is going live every Monday, by the way. So that's for sure an awesome one. And Brock, just just before wrapping it up, if you can also share some your thoughts on who is gonna be the winner in the NFL this year, and what's your thoughts regarding the American sports in the upcoming 1 to 2 years, because you also have awesome show, the Espresso Shot. So if you can share a little bit.
Yeah, you'll have to follow on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. We're posting the cafe. It's a short minute to 2 minutes of what's happening in sports business right now. So super digestible, really easy to add on to your morning routines, right? So that'll come out every week where we'll talk about a story of what's happening in sports business. So follow along for that. Where do I think American sports will be in the next 2 years? We don't have time to unwrap all of that. I think who knows? We're hoping we have fans again in the next calendar year, sometime in 2021. Not to make this about COVID, but that's probably where we hope we are. I think it's going to be a Kansas City versus Green Bay Super Bowl for the NFL. No, nobody's beating Kansas City. They're not even playing their best and they're just getting better. And that hurts me so much to say, because I hate the Chiefs. I hate them so much that
I have to do a shout out to Armand. He was on your podcast as well. He was on my podcast as well. So he's the Chiefs guy. I hope you're not taking it personally.
No, that's hopefully the Packers. Nobody from the NFC East is going to win it. That's the division that everyone's terrible, including the Eagles, especially the Eagles. So my guess is it's going to be a Green Bay Kansas City Super Bowl that I hope Kansas City doesn't win, but they probably will. So that's my best prediction. And then NBA, it's going to be a Lakers Clippers Western Conference Finals. It's going to happen. It's going to happen every year forever in my book.
That'd be awesome.
It'd be really cool. And you know what? All that matters is that the Lakers or Clippers come home with one of these bad boys right here. Look at this thing. I don't know what to do. I feel like I have to use this as a prop. Every time I see it, I'm like, how do I use this to my advantage?
You got a ring. Now you got a proper trophy.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we got a trophy. I don't know what to do with this thing. I don't know how I got to set it up somewhere where it's in the background. But yeah, this is
so beautiful.
This is so cool. I've literally been carrying this around for like a week. I'll be sitting watching TV with my roommates and just like hugging the trophy, probably because I'm alone, but also because this thing is really, really cool.
Yeah, and one thing, I think this is also going to be fun. It's my personal question. Have you started the podcast and everything you've done on you're doing outside, the podcast and the cafe and everything, just because Sarah didn't believe in you?
That is true. Yeah, I had an ex-girlfriend named Sarah who didn't believe in me. And she said I would never amount to anything. Well, look who's doing real well now, Sarah. I'm doing great without you. I don't need you. I don't need anyone. I have a fake Larry O'Brien basketball trophy. So yeah, who's crying? Who's crying themselves to sleep now, Sarah?
Oh man, Brock, man, thanks a lot for being the first guest of the Instagram Live series. I have to make this promise to everyone listening there that we are going to bring back Brock on another series. And you know, I know we're playing back and forth with the timing, and of course you moved back to Los Angeles, to LA, and so on. But I'm really grateful now that, you know, I'm here for holidays. We have kind of the same time zones, you know, only 2 hours, not 9 hours.
Yeah. Enjoy the States, man. You know, live it up. Florida is certainly, if you're going to be somewhere in America right now, Florida is the place to be. They do not give a fuck about any of this stuff. So Florida is open and ready to party. So I hope you are too.
Yeah, I will definitely go to have a swim now in the ocean. So
good right, move, man.
All right. I appreciate it. And stay safe. I think LA now is in the lockdown, right?
We're going back under. Everybody guard the house up. I hope you stocked up on Trader Joe's supplies, because we're not going anywhere for the next couple of months. We're doing real bad. So Trader Joe's is where it's at. While you're in lockdown, go to poppinbarkley.com and get your CBD so we can all zen out, baby. Because we're going to be in this for a long time. America's, I don't know how you're doing in the Ukraine, but America's fucked right now. We're not in a good place with this stuff. It's all our own fault. We're doing it to ourselves.
Those countries are not in the national lockdown. So, but they're also kind of late to the party. So if Western Europe is on lockdowns, you know, like Spain, France, and the UK and so on, then you'd have these countries in the Eastern Europe taking the trend like a couple of weeks later or a couple of months. So we have national lockdowns in those countries coming up, I don't know, early January, February, who knows. But Brock, thanks a lot, and stay safe, man. Looking forward to reconnect, and definitely keep up the great work with the podcast and with what we do at Staples Center.
Thanks, Biggie. Appreciate you, man. Show's going great. I really appreciate it being a part of this.
Take care, buddy.
Take care, man.
Yep.
That was it for this episode. Please share it with your friends and everyone who you think will get value out of it. Also share it on all social media platforms and tag the Big E using the details from the episode notes. If you enjoyed it, leave a rate and review. Make sure you stay tuned and subscribe to not miss another episode. On behalf of the eProcast team, stay safe and see you in the next one. Peace out.